When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a recording of a pizza order placed by Dark Fleifer. Hello, yes, I would like a pizza delivered to just outside the lids of Haverford Mystery County. I can, you know what, you can put whatever toppings you want on them as long as they're meat and as long as they're fresh. And I need that pizza to be delivered by Adam Driller.
Hello, friends in an alternate future. Welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of betrayed buddies and sorceled singers in the real and actual 2006. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rashawn Adine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt, the initiate. And you know, sometimes life changes in a jumping jack flash.
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch, and I play Adam Miller, the weird scientist. And I think I'm done kissing girls. They either power down in front of you forever or accuse you of punking them.
Hi, this is Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine, the monstrous. And Crashly is hungry, running down a dream. She's hungry and has you ever seen working on... I don't know. Crashly's hungry.
Hi, everyone. My name is Claire Linick, and I play Susan Wexler, the expert. And wing, 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 pick up. It's Susan, and she's flying.
Hi, I'm Alan Linick, and I play CEJ, the professional. And if I can't find a babysitter to get some me time, I'm about to freaking lose it.
CEJ, look at this!
Where we left off, things had gotten pretty spicy amongst the club. Adam Miller finally turned back from being a Don Miller with no memory of what had transpired, only to immediately be grabbed by Shamanda and the other Council of the Dolls from the dojo, zip-tying him and throwing him into their van to take him back to the dojo. Meanwhile, Crashly showed up, and the dojo was pretty furious that she had broken out of their cell, but Shamanda convinced them to stand down, causing some tension between both Crashly and Adriana and Shamanda. Meanwhile, Dark Fleifer had met up with Adam Miller and given him some helpful energy that Adam Miller did not want, and turns out to have been taken from the life force of other children of the devil. And before Adam could get answers on that, Dark grabbed a bus quite literally and sped off into the distance. Meanwhile, CEJ and Susan were on the ferry from Mystery coming back to Haverford. Susan was very worried about Flurb's intentions towards Ron Stewart and finally decided to take matters into her own tiny little hands. And the three-year-old version of her used magic to make little wings form on her back and fly her off to get to the hospital to deal with Flurb. And CEJ showed a previously unknown athleticism and dived into the water to swim after her. I think that is where we're going to pick up, which is just CEJ, go ahead. And I think this is going to just be plus tough to see what your swimming abilities are, unless you want to use No Limits to...
Then he'll take a rest and drown.
Mm. Oh, no, don't.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I rolled a 9.
Now, is this going to be No Limits or are you using tough?
I'm going to use, I think, just regular tough. So it becomes a 10.
Okay, great. Then, yeah, you do it. This was basically just an act under pressure. So you do what you set out to. CEJ Yeah, you're not a bad swimmer. It seems like you're pretty good at it. It's not surprising. You live near a lake, and it's kind of the main thing that teens do for entertainment in the summer. So you're able to hold your own. I wouldn't say that you're like faster than the ferry or anything like that, or even as fast as Susan, who's sort of toddling in the air above you without the push of the water against her to slow her down. But you are more or less able to keep up with her. Luckily, the ferry is not too far away from the bank of the lake where the hospital is at. So you're not really in danger of anything. Though, as you swim, you're still in the deeps of the lake, like deeper than you normally would go if you were swimming or anything. And you do definitely feel something against your leg, something like long and sinuous just rubbing against your leg.
No. Not again. And from the top of my, I turn back towards the ferry, and at the top of my lungs, I just yell, "Gooch!"
There's a flurry of panic.
Gooch! Oh no, Gooch!
Gooch, Gooch!
Not a Gooch!
No, Gooch!
Some people coming over to look. There's a lot of people looking for it. Some people doing like their own versions, like the Haverford version of, you know, dispelling the evil eye, which involves a lot of expectorating.
Yeah, it's a great. Lot of...
Yeah, so you're just sort of getting spit at by a lot of them.
What the...
Please! Can Susan see the goonch?
Susan, you don't see any goonch. Susan, if you want to, you can roll what's going on here.
Hell no.
Okay, then yeah.
You're not going to trick me into rolling when it's not necessary.
then Susan, you don't see anything. You're too focused on getting to that hospital. And soon enough, you're there, Susan. You touch down on the helicopter pad and on the roof of the hospital.
On the side of the lake.
Yep. And listen, it's the only hospital in the entire county. So they need you need every option to get to it. Susan, what do you do as you touch down? There's nobody up there right now.
Okay. I know exactly what to do. I find an adult.
Great. There's nobody up there right now. So yeah, you just open the door and head down into the hospital.
Yeah. And I am going to head to the hospital and CEJ is pretty far behind me now, right?
Yeah. I would say CEJ at this point is pulling himself out of the water onto shore.
I'm going to yell to him, "Meet you inside. Last one there's a rotten egg."
I'm getting gooched.
Probably not.
Great. Yeah. So you, Susan, you push in, you go inside. Inside, it's a pretty normal day, not too much craziness. It's a little heightened. There's people coming in. It's in, you overhear that it sounds like the roof collapsed at the lids. And so there's people coming in with kind of minor injuries from that. It doesn't look like anybody was significantly harmed, but there is a little uptick in sort of energy and distraction as the nurses on shift are sort of dealing with more clients than they normally would have.
Okay, I'm going to walk up to the most adult looking nurse.
Okay, great. Yeah, her name is, she looks to be like the head nurse. She's behind the desk. I'm trying to think if we have anybody that has already been identified as such. Mm. I don't think so. Oh, who is there? We have not seen her. And in a time that she no longer remembers, things went very different for her. But she retired from the ranger service to follow her other passion. And you see a woman that you've barely ever interacted with. But it's Pinky St. Christ is there behind the desk at the hospital. And I believe, Aaron, that was you.
I think so. Yeah, I don't remember what she sounded like, though.
Well, you know, Gosh. What? It was a whole different life for Pinky when she was in her park ranger persona. So
yeah,
she can sound however you want. I would imagine tired and a little gruff if I know what Aaron likes to play.
Hi, I'm Ron Stewart's daughter, Saggy Say.
Honey, Ron Stewart. Oh, gosh. Okay. God, I was just about to go on lunch break. Let me take a sip of Pepsi.
There's no time.
Okay. What do you want? Where's your other caretaker? Where's your adult?
He's my only caretaker.
He's your only.
It's a long and horrible story. Let's get going.
And it's okay. At that point that another one of the nurses walks over to you, Pinky, and is like, mm-hmm. hey, don't worry, Pinky, like, I got it, and puts his hand on your shoulder. And that is when, Pinky, will you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
And roll, just roll 2d6. I don't think Pinky has any weird.
Okay. 7.
Okay, great. Flurb, which limb do you take over inside Pinky St. Christ's body?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Ooh. I think I take over her right hand, her right arm.
Great. And the nurse that was touching Pinky on the shoulder kind of shakes his head a little bit. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go on break.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God. All right. Well, I'm going to talk to Diane Flurb. About this.
Flurb, what are you doing with that right hand?
This is Pinky's right hand or the...
Yeah, Pinky's right hand.
I think let's see. What's a fun thing to do? I think smack the other nurse on the booty.
Hey.
Oh, God.
Hey.
Flurb, you're a bad man.
Can I see Flurb?
No. So far as you know, this is very idle hand situation where your hand just had a mind of its own and slapped the other nurse.
Oh my God, I must be a sleepwalking.
And then it grabs the Pepsi.
Okay, this is back to normal.
And pours it on the nurse's head.
Hey!
Oh my, what the hell? Pepsi! Jesus Christ! Oh, I'm Pinky. So sorry. What just happened?
Flurb, I'm going to kill you.
You can't. I'm already dead.
And the nurse heck? Is like, Pinky, you know, I'm going to HR right now, okay? No, this is inappropriate.
I know. I didn't mean to do that. I did not. Something's going on. It's probably Lyme disease again.
Flurb, come talk to me in this closet.
But this arm is so fun.
Get in this closet.
All right. 7 minutes in heaven.
Look at me. I'm 2 feet tall.
Ew. I guess, yeah. All right, let's go.
So Flurb pops out of Pinky's hand. Is this correct?
Yeah, correct.
Poor Pinky.
Great, yeah, and you fly into the closet. Pinky, yeah, you are just chasing after that other nurse.
Yeah.
Trying to convince him that you didn't mean to do what you had just done.
Sorry for ruining your life.
You just hear that in your ear, Pinky, as you run after the other nurse.
I gotta go home.
Yeah, Susan, you... you know, push with your big girl hands on the door and go into the supply closet. And pretty shortly after, you see Flurb, the conglomeration of human souls there.
I have to ask, Susan, why are you a child?
Flurb, this is very serious, and I do not want you to be distracted by how cute my voice is right now.
I do love that affliction you had there.
It's very darling.
Oh, I would put you on a box of cereal.
Thank you. Rod Stewart did this to me, and now if you kill him, I'm going to die. And I'm not quite ready yet.
I don't
know. You know me, I'm a party girl.
But if you died, you could come join the collective, Susan.
And just to clarify, Susan, you will. If he dies, you will not die. You will just not be able to go back.
Oh,
you won't be able to reverse the spell.
And if he dies, I'm going to be stuck this age forever. And then we could never get married. Never mind. I've said too much.
What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
Nothing.
Oh, boo. Tell me.
I can't tell you. I guess we'd have to find out.
Were you going to say Mary?
I don't know.
All right. I won't take Mr. Stewart. Gosh, dang it. But I'm going to take one other random person who is close to death, then. And you're going to choose the room.
Oh, okay, I don't care.
Oh, my God.
I choose this room.
The maternity ward?
Oh, what are you doing? No.
The one we're standing in. You know who's closest to death here?
Who? You?
You.
I'm death, and I am literally death.
That's right. Fooled ya! And I'm just going to start running.
Oh, Susan!
No, Flurb, I do not imagine that you are bound by that at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but yeah, 3-year-old Susan tries to do that. Meanwhile, CEJ, you're behind the hospital. You walk up the banks of Lake Mystery, soddened, wet, and bedraggled. What do you do?
I drag myself out of the water. I'm still lugging that suitcase full of books.
That's right. Yeah.
And I trudge into the hospital. Is there like, I don't know, an information desk?
Yeah, totally. There's a security guard working at the front who kind of does information. Hey, are you okay?
No, I'm great. I just always take a dunk in the lake on my way to a hospital.
Hey, did you feel like being sarcastic with me was appropriate? Did I sound rude to you?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like,
I struggle with my tone sometimes, so I have to check, because I meant that to sound sincere.
It just feels like if that's how you react and you work at a hospital, you should adjust like how you address people for the first time.
Susan just runs by laughing.
That's her. Security.
Oh, hey, Susan.
Yeah, what is it? What is it?
Wait, you're the security guy?
Yeah, I'm the security guy. See, that's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like what?
When you ask a question and you get, you were surprised and you acted out of surprise and I answered all snippy back to you, you know?
Snippy what? Dippy was a bear. Snippy Dippy had no hair. And then I just keep running again. Catch up, CJ.
Hey, she took my toupee.
I move. And I push him out of the way and I run after Susan.
And yeah, he just falls over. He's in his rolling chair and it just tips over and he just goes, whoa! It falls to the ground and gets caught up in it.
While I'm chasing Susan, I'm going to call Shamanda.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll say you probably had the foresight to put your phone in Susan's magical suitcase so that it wouldn't get water damage. Yeah, totally. Great. Shamanda, you are driving back to the dojo. Adam Miller is zip-tied in the back of the Nissan Quest. The dolls are all there. It's a little grim. Everybody's kind of embarrassed at how the raid went, but ultimately it was successful. You did grab Adam outside the lids and your phone starts to ring and it is CEJ.
I turn up the music and I put in an earphone and I answer. CEJ?
Hello, Shamanda. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's going on?
Running. You need to get stop. Shamanda, this has been a disaster. I thought I could do something on my own and kind of be helpful and it's completely falling apart. You gotta get Crashly and Adam. Meet me down at the hospital.
I have Adam. Oh, okay. I'm coming to the hospital now. Okay?
Okay.
I'll be right there.
Follow the wet footprints.
I know how to. There's one hospital in the entire county, and it's just by the edge of the lake.
No, I mean when you get to the hospital, follow the wet footprints inside. You'll find me.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
And then you hear like. Skeek! That sound of like someone slipping on the linoleum and like a crash and then a gurney falling over and a bunch of people yelling and then I hang up.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Shamanda just like hits the left blinker and says, ladies, we're making a detour and skirt around and heads towards the hospital.
And I think Adriana would just look over and be like, is Whoopi going to be okay with that?
What Whoopi don't know won't hurt her. And Shamanda shudders.
Wow. Yeah,
I think all of the dolls look really worried when you say that. And they look at each other and they look around, like not sure where to look, like looking for, like almost like Whoopi's going to show up at any second.
And Shamanda is terrified that it's gotten to this point.
Yeah.
To, you know, for the Whoop. ladies, if any of you feel that you need to leave at this point, I completely understand. But I'm gonna belay her order.
There's like a long pause and silence, and then Adriana looks at you and says, "Togetherness, remember?" And she pulls down her bottom lip and shows the EGOT tattoo. And she says, "We're with you, Shamanda. She can't punish all of us, right?"
"The thing is, I think that she can." And then I just peel out.
Oh.
Yeah, and you make your way to the hospital. Great. Crashly, mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I actually want to head to the hospital, too, because my thought is, I got out. I know I hurt this guy. I know we need him for the spell. And I also kind of want to apologize or whatever, too.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah.
Yeah. My plan was to run like a monster, like a Twilight vampire, you know, just like run there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of far, though, right?
Yeah, you're probably a couple miles away.
Oh, I can run easy. No problem.
Yeah. Okay, great. You're running to that. I have a question for you, Alan.
Yeah.
Derek's cell phone. Who has it? Derek or Dark?
Probably Derek.
Great.
I think. Well, actually, Derek doesn't have a cell phone. He called from a payphone in Canada.
That's right. Mm. He did. Okay, yeah. Well, I think this still applies. Crashly, as you're running, you get a call on your cell phone from an unknown number.
I'll answer it.
And I think it's Derek on a payphone.
Oh, cool.
Derek, what do you say to Crashly?
Hey, Crashly.
Hi, Derek. Wait. Did we just talk a minute ago?
I don't think so.
Okay, where's the last time you saw me?
I'm calling you from... Well, where's the last time I saw you? The last time I saw you... You told me to go get Barb, and then I flew away, and I got a little distracted, and I ended up in Canada, and I called you, but I didn't really see you when I called you. I could see you in my mind's eye, and sometimes That's when I concentrate enough. On you really Derek, hard, up, I can see you. Okay.
Okay, cool. Okay, I like you. Sorry, shut up, not in a mean way. Listen, there's someone impersonating you, and they've done really bad stuff, including... They said to somebody who then sent me a message that you don't like me, but they said it as you. They were basically like, "I'm Derek and I'm so old. I don't even like Crashly like that." And I was like, "Oh," and I bit somebody because I got so upset. But then, and then I met them and they are like a mean version of you. It's so messed up. They're doing other bad stuff too, but that was like the main thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I loved that story. It was full of ups and downs. It had everything going on that I could possibly want. There were parts that I was like, "Oh, this is really touching." And then I was kind of flattered that someone was impersonating me and I'm listening to you talk. So that's a plus. And there were parts of it that I didn't like. And it was just all over the place.
Yeah, it's also pretty serious. So I'm trying to go like save the day essentially right now and maybe like save the guy that I bit. But I want you to know that like there's someone impersonating you and trying to break us up essentially.
Right. Well, yeah. That is sort of me, which is really funny, actually.
What?
But I am currently in Dubuque, and I am continuing my walk towards you. So if you could just wait before you go on your adventure until I get there, we could hash the whole thing out.
Well, I can't wait too much, but I'm going to be like around, you know, I'm not leaving the state area or anything, but I might be at the hospital. It depends on how fast you walk. I can run really fast now.
Cool. How fast can you run?
I'm running like 3 miles and I think I'm going to do it in like 20 minutes.
Wait, are you currently running?
Yeah, I'm running right now. I'm actually
that
halfway
is so
there.
Cool.
Thanks. I'm barely out of breath.
Wow. I wish I could see it. Wait,
I'm really
if
hungry,
I concentrate
though.
On you really hard, I can almost see it in my out of money.
Oh, no. Great.
Aw, I love Derek.
Oh.
I'm saying to myself.
Whoa, the L word.
And then I keep saying things like, not love, you know what I mean. Anyway, I'll write this down in a mirror someday soon.
great, Crashly. Yeah, so the rest of your run, I think, more or less goes without incident. There's a few, you have to run through like a series of backyards, and there's a few people who are like spooked by the wraith that flits past the edge of their vision.
The animals don't like me.
No, every dog starts barking frantically, almost in like complete terror.
Yeah.
Cats hissing.
Stay mad, guys.
Yeah.
Never.
And soon enough, you find yourself outside the Mystery County Hospital.
Yeah, I'm going to run in and try to find that guy's room, Ron Stewart.
Okay, great. Also, I just realized I have to acknowledge something, an error on my part. I said that this is the only hospital in Mystery County, which historically was true so far as people know. But I do recall that Shamanda and Crashly volunteered at the Mystery Hospital.
Yes.
Where they encountered Cheryl and got pee on their feet. Right.
What? Oh, I blocked that out of my mind.
I forgot about
yeah.
that.
So there is a second hospital, but it's a much more rinky-dink, small hospital for a small town. So this is the county hospital. It's quite larger. Anywho, just for those completionists at home.
Thank you.
Yeah, you make your way into the county hospital. And I'm sorry, what were you saying, Aaron?
Oh, I'm just trying to find Ron Stewart's room.
Okay, great. There's a security guard. He looks like he's trying to pull a baseball cap over his bald head, very embarrassed and being like, get your tone right, Sammy, get your tone. Okay. Hi. Are you having any troubles?
Kind of. I'm looking for Ron Stewart's room.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a family member?
Yep, I am.
Oh, okay. What is your name?
Dawn Stewart.
Okay, and what's your relationship?
Niece.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
My dad is his brother. That's why we have the same last name, even though I'm his niece.
Oh, your cousin's here.
Yes.
No, I'm telling, sorry, my tone is all off today. I'm so sorry. I was telling you, your cousin is here.
Oh, yes. I assume so because...
Saggy say?
Mm-hmm. Because her dad is Ron.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. This is all, everything I also know. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that checks out, you know, small town. We all know each other. No
yeah.
reason to try to do it. Yeah. He's in room 213.
Okay, bye. And I'm going to run there.
Hey, wait, I should have asked for ID. Wait, where's your guardian?
Just then, the dolls burst through the door, tactical gear out.
Yeah, whoa.
Ron Stewart, where is he?
213, he's that way. Do you need
Thank you. Your tone is very direct and clear.
Can I ask, is Adam still in the car by himself?
Yeah, what do you do? You pull up, you burst out. Do you leave anybody behind?
I put the child locks on.
Do you leave anybody else there with him?
You said there were... I have Astrid and Adriana with me.
Yeah, I think there's like probably like six or seven. I think we'll just say it makes sense. We'll say there's seven of the dolls, including you.
Did you crack a window or anything? It's like summer.
For sure. It's a very... The van has been pimped out by... What is that? Exhibit, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's very lush. But yeah, there are girls standing out guard outside the car.
Great.
And there's one inside watching.
Great. So with you then, it sounds like it's probably just, did you leave Anne behind or did you bring her with?
Yeah, I'm going to leave Anne with Adam.
Great. Anne is the one in the car with you then, Adam.
Fun.
Get ready for a lot of obscure facts about the Donner Party.
Is the last thing that Shamanda says to you before she leaves.
What did I do?
Right, before you die of cold, you actually start to feel so hot.
Why?
That you go into a frenzy and you leave wherever you're at running and you start taking off your clothes.
But it's cold. Wow, that is weird.
That's the last thing you do before death.
Oh, that's pretty interesting, actually.
Anyways, got any car snacks?
Not on me.
The worst part about that, Adam, is when she says that, you feel what that, you have, like, that's one of the memories that you have. Oh, like, the physical memories. You know what that feels like. And you are horrified to know, presumably, how one of your siblings was snuffed out by Dark Pfeiffer.
I don't feel good. Could we turn the AC on, or?
Sure, I don't know.
I mean, I can't do it. I'm zip-tied. I got a bag over my head.
Well, I can't do it. I'm, like, really tired right now.
I radio into Ann. I know you can hear me in your ear. Don't let him die. Just turn on the air. Just make sure he's comfortable. Take the thing off. Wipe the vomit off of him, please.
And
okay, but did you hear what I said about who are you dying talking to? Of cold and the hot thing?
Oh yeah, it's very scary, very dark. This gloom thing you've got going on, I love it. I really do. You're coming into your own. God, you remind me of Dragline.
Anne, are you talking to Shamanda?
What?
Amanda, are you? Anne, are you talking Amanda? To Shamanda?
Oh no!
Wow.
Oh,
I gotta go.
Do I hear Shamanda? Is Shamanda there?
Yeah, I think you can barely hear her voice through Anne's earpiece.
Anne, let me ask, what did I do? Did I kill someone?
Sorry, she said to turn on the AC, and I kind of have to focus on that right now.
Anne reaches over and turns on the AC.
Let me know when you're free.
Okay.
Silliness. Okay, and Shamanda approaches the room.
Great, yeah. Susan, are you running to Ron Stewart's room?
Yeah.
Okay, great. You run in right as
really fast.
Very fast.
I'm wearing my fast shoes.
You are so fast. And almost as fast is CEJ. He's right behind you and he runs in. And I have a question, Jeff. Is Flurb gonna stay away from Ron Stewart or is
Absolutely not. You go really fast so you can go through walls.
Great. As you run in, so CEJ, go ahead and roll plus weird to see if you can keep Flurb from possessing you.
Oh boy. I don't think I can. I got a six.
Oh.
Great. So on a miss, Flurb possesses you completely, takes total control of your body for 30 minutes. Also on a miss, Susan, you are next to him. You get 1 year younger. God, you are 2 years old.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. The terrible two.
And
she can't walk so good.
Yeah, Flurb has your body. CEJ, you can still talk, you know, in your mind with Flurb and things like that, but he has control of your body. Flurb, what do you do in this teenage body?
Oh, I say, Susan, guess who?
Flurb.
I took over CEJ.
I'll kill you.
Oh, you'd kill CEJ or you kill Flurb?
I kill Flurb. Susan kill Flurb.
And you wouldn't. Just and inside the room you just hear
who's there?
Ooh, sounds like somebody.
Death for a ghost is just an ending.
I think you have the wrong room.
Rod Stewart.
Ron, yeah.
Oh, sorry. wait, this is Rod Stewart, not no, Ron Stewart?
No, I'm Ron Stewart.
I'm looking for... Oh, my gosh, Flurb, you fucked up.
Can Crashly and Shamanda, like, peer into the room laughing at Flurb for this?
So, yeah, at this point, Crashly crashes in. Crashly, you see CEJ and Susan standing in Ron Stewart's room.
Phew.
I thought this was Rod Stewart, but you're telling me it's just a cover artist?
CEJ?
Yeah, you hear CEJ say that, Crashly.
Yes.
Actually, Crashly, also, you do have the sight as well, so you can see Flurb is possessing him.
Right. Ew. Who are you?
And Crashly, you see down the hall running towards you is Shamanda and the other dolls.
Okay, this could be bad or good. Listen, whatever your deal is, get out of CEJ. Like,
okay, I was looking for Sir Roderick David Stewart.
Oh, yeah. This is not him. This is a sad guy that put a spell on everybody. Sir, Mr. Ugh. Ron Stewart.
Rondrick Stewart.
Rondrick, whatever. What is the spell? We know about it. We just need to reverse it.
What? I'm so weak.
Oh, I'm so weak. Shut Damn. Up.
Will you keep her away Ouch. From me? She tried to kill me before.
Oh, Shamanda. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be yelling
so
at you.
Mean.
Sorry.
Okay. So Shamanda's coming up to the room. She's going to leave Astrid and Adriana guard the door. And I come inside and say, what is going on?
Yeah, you see 2-year-old Susan. CEJ is sort of moving herky-jerky And Crashly looks kind of gaunt, I think, mm-hmm. like, you know, somebody who's missed a few meals. And Crashly is yelling at Ron Stewart, who is heavily bandaged and looks to be pretty heavily doped up as well.
Oh.
Maybe this is a time for my I train for this move where I end the shouting.
Sure.
And the fighting at this moment.
Yeah. So the way that we have it with this move is you can roll to stop it. Again, it is more intended for physical fights. You can use it in this. You'll just have to pick one of the things to have happen as a result of doing it. Yeah. So who are you targeting with this? Because this is you target a specific person.
I need Crashly to calm down.
Okay, great. So you're going to roll the plus the number of times. You haven't done any harm to Crashly, so yeah, you'll just roll straight. Roll 2d6.
Does she have any emotional conditions that maybe I could, like...
You know, if you want to, I will say, if you want to purposely target one of her emotional conditions, you can say something to make her, you know, to hit one of those, and then I will allow that. You can emotionally harm her, essentially.
I don't want to emotionally harm her. I just want to... Tranquilo. Just wanted to cool out. Stop yelling.
Yeah, the easiest way to do that then wouldn't be necessarily I've trained for this. It would be to deal with the feels, you know?
All right.
To try to help her with her feelings.
Deal with the feels. How are you feeling, Crashly?
Yeah, she's feeling all sorts of ways. So, because Crashly has 4 of the 5 emotional conditions. So, I guess, really, what is it that you're saying to offer support or comfort to Crashly?
Crashly. I know it can be hard to hear shocking truths from people that you expected to feel differently. Okay? If there's anybody who understands that, it's me. And you will get through this and it will get better. This is just a blip in time. So I need you to calm down, sweetie, please.
Great. And then go ahead, Shamanda, and roll plus weird.
9 total.
All right. So you will be able to remove one of her conditions. But only if you either admit something embarrassing or make a bold gesture.
I whisper in her ear, I thought Adon was like really hot too.
Great. That feels like something certainly embarrassing or personal. Crashly, yeah, so this hits for you if you want it to. Yeah, you can remove one of your conditions.
It makes me not angry anymore because I feel closer to Shamanda and my... feelings about Shamanda have been at the base of some of my anger, I think.
Yeah, totally. Great. Yeah. So you calm down. Everybody else in the room is still pretty out of sorts, Shamanda. But you do calm Crashly down, which does seem to help.
Can I apologize? I want to apologize now to Mr. Ron Stewart. Oh boy, sir. I'm so sorry. First of all, I bit you in the neck.
Ron, it's okay. It's okay.
I'll take a step back. Really, I should not have done that. And then on top of it, I should not have yelled at you when I came in to apologize and find out some very crucial and life-saving information from you. So I'm so sorry that I did that. I really wasn't myself. Please don't tell anyone about it or I'll have to kill you. I don't want to do that.
Okay, and I scoop Crashly back.
I don't want to.
Aaron, roll to manipulate someone. So roll plus charm.
Okay. Oh, sheesh.
I've got like the soccer mom arm mm-hmm. out just in case this goes poorly.
To manipulate. So it's a 5.
Mm. Uh-oh.
On a miss, your approach is completely wrong. You make a bad impression on him and the problem gets worse. And he just starts, he's like, I'm not, no, guards, she's here to kill me. She tried to do it and she's here to finish the job.
Oh,
no.
And you can hear some security guards coming to investigate the nurse, Pinky St. Christ.
I'll take care of this.
Flurb, what are you doing, yeah. Flurb?
I run a CEJ out of the hallway.
CEJ, where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to distract those guards. You get Susan back to her the right age. She says she wants to marry me.
Susan's going to marry you, CEJ?
She's playing checkers. I mean, chess, not checkers.
What?
She's playing chess. I don't think she's going to really marry him, but she said that.
Oh, yeah. Why would she marry CEJ? That's so weird.
Oh, that's a... Oh, no. CEJ is possessed by this old-ass ghost.
Not that old.
What?
Yeah, he's possessed. Sorry.
Yeah, Shamanda, you find out one of your boyfriends is possessed by a ghost. What do you do, Shamanda?
Shamanda is thrown into a pottery studio in her mind. this is basically ghost.
Okay, I see. Yeah. What do you... You're just reliving the memory of the movie Ghost.
Yeah.
Great. You watch... Crashly, you watch Shamanda just kind of goes away mentally.
Oh, God.
She just goes distant and seems to be somewhere else completely.
I'm going to pick up little tiny Susie. And
I'm one now, right?
You're two. Oh, you're right. There was a second failure. Yes, you are 1 year old.
Little baby Susie. And I'm not going to get too close to Ron because I'm really not angry at all. I feel bad. And I'm just going to say, Susie, can you say hi? Hi, Ron. Can you say hi, Ron?
Hi.
Oh, look, she likes you. And she wants to be, like, if any of us make another...
I think here's the thing. I will just say, you would know. Again, your approach was completely wrong. He is more terrified of you than he was before. Coming closer to him for any reason, like, you're not really going to be... You, Crashly, are not going to be able to, like, calm Ron Stewart down. He knows that you're a monster and is going to shout that to the high heavens.
That makes sense. I'm going to try to deal with the feels with Shamanda then to get her to snap out of it. So I'm going to still...
And I will say the other thing is Ron Stewart is just shouting, she's a monster. She bit me. She tried to kill me. She's a monster. And you can see the dolls outside getting increasingly anxious and nervous.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Being told, you know, to not come in, but him just shouting and screaming, you can see their tolerance is diminishing.
That makes sense. So I'm going to say to Shamanda, I'm going to pick up Suze and say, Shamanda, snap, snap in front of your face. Look, Suze is a baby now. She can barely say anything. She cannot walk. And if we mess it up and don't, she just keeps de-aging and it seems to be happening faster and faster. So we need to fix this. So he's really scared of me. I guess I said something wrong. So whatever. So he's scared of me and I'm going to take little Suze and go in the hallway. And can you just like find out what we need to do?
Now, Crashly, here's a question. This doesn't seem like you're necessarily dealing with the feels with Shamanda. It kind of seems like you're trying to manipulate Shamanda to like get her to do what you want.
I guess so. Doesn't seem like a good idea, but...
I'm going to say roll plus charm.
Crashly, it's not charming right now. Let's see. Okay, I got a 9.
A 9, great.
Yeah.
On a manipulate someone for another club member... So you are trying to get, if I'm understanding correctly, you're essentially trying to be like, Shamanda, go into survival mode, get this done and deal with stuff later. Sort of like snap back into it, get on mission kind of a thing.
Yeah, I guess essentially that's right.
So Shamanda, if you do what Crashly is asking, then you'll get advantage the next time you roll. If you choose not to do it, then you get experience. So it's up to you whether or not you follow what Crashly asks and like kind of come back to yourself and take control of the situation. Those are your options.
I'll take the advantage. I think Shamanda has gone full Winter Soldier and it's like whoever can activate her can activate her.
Great.
That makes sense.
I go, Tony Goldwyn is going to do great things. What?
Great.
and then I shoo everyone away and I walk calmly and coolly up to Ron Stewart. And I cast empath. I do an empath check on him as I do some bedside manner.
Okay, great. So it sounds like you're trying to use your empathy. You're trying to push it out again, kind of make him feel your feelings.
Yeah, and just how the urgency of we need to solve this.
Great. Roll plus weird.
7 plus 2 is 9.
All right, yeah. He gets a hazy idea. He kind of calms down a little bit because, you know, he doesn't like fully read you or anything, but it is just a kind of a warm blanket. And he's already pretty weak from blood loss and some light surgery and being on pain medicines and stuff. So I think he just like falls into a fitful sleep.
Ron, I'm reaching out to you as you go into this slumber. If you don't help us, one of my mentors is not going to be herself, and we can't allow that, so please give me what I need. And I like brain link with him to pull out this ingredient list.
Yeah, well, and I want to be clear, Ron doesn't know what, like, Ron wouldn't know what the ingredients are. Ron didn't cast the spell. Ron essentially paid somebody to do it, you know, just did it. So the information on what the spell, like what you would do to undo it, is in Susan's lore library.
Oh, and CEJ, I look at, he said to follow the wet footprints. So I follow the wet footprints to that suitcase with all the books in it.
Yeah, so you and Crashly see that. Fleur, what are you doing out in the hallway?
Guards! And I fall to the ground like, oh, I need a doctor! Is there a doctor in the hospital?
It'd be really crazy if there were not.
Yeah, the security guard from before comes up and is like, oh, is there a doctor in the hospital? God, yeah, wow. That kid really got under my skin. yeah, there's plenty. Sir, and,
help me. I need all the guards to take me to a doctor now.
All right. Come on, Leroy and the two guards in the hospital pick you up and make their way.
And while that's going on, Flurp says to CJ, well, have fun, kid. And he pops out.
Great. Oh, where is Flurp headed?
He's going to go help however he can.
Okay. Great.
I changed my mind.
What? You don't need help?
No, I feel better.
Well, I mean, we can't force you to get service.
Stupid Flurp.
Huh?
God damn it. Ha ha, fooled you again, Flurp.
Are you calling me a Flurp?
No, there's Flurp.
Flurp goes to whisper in the guard's ear and says, yeah, you Flurp.
Hey, I don't know what that means, son, but that's not okay, all right? I'm just here trying to help. Wow, I've been having a real tough day. I've just been trying to help people, and he just kind of breaks down and falls to the ground.
Whoa, my guy, my man, hey.
We found it. You guys come
okay.
in the room.
Oh, thank God. I just run away.
Great.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, he continues to cry. CEJ, you run back into the room with Susan, Crashly, and Shamanda there with Ron Stewart. Crashly, you still have Susan in your arms. You are reaching through and you've pulled out one of her books, and looking through, you quickly are able to figure out what ingredients you might need.
Great. What are they?
So it looks like in classic spell fashion, you know, this is a reversal spell that you would need to do. You kind of deduce from looking through the magical calculus of everything. You kind of, it's not like this is written down like this is what's needed. It's a little more of like you deducing from looking at what's there, what would help undo it. If that makes sense, like the magical alchemy sort of parts necessary. And there's three things that are needed for this spell. The first is a baby's cry.
Mm.
The second is a helpless man's sigh. And the third is an old path walked anew. That would be for the original target. So that would be something to do with Ron. And you know that that's sort of in the same way that Barley, you ended up having to, she's all that Barley. To get him to develop his own self-confidence. It's usually like this element is often a thing where it's like a thing that you need to assist the target in completing on their own so that they provide it.
I have an idea for that one.
Ooh, what is it?
Wait, don't you guys know some people who work at a radio station? What if we got one of Ron's new songs on the radio?
Yeah.
That would satisfy, you know, and... an old path walked anew. Isn't that what he wanted at the fair, just to play his own songs?
Yeah, and maybe to hear that people still appreciate him. I mean, all his songs are someone else's songs is the only problem. Right?
Oh.
Shamanda is correct in so far as Ron at the dance did say that he had some new song, some originals that he wanted to play.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
was like, this time I think I could do things different.
Yep. Maybe we need to get him to play, to sing it.
Wait, have we ever asked what's his real name? Someone to get his wallet.
Yeah.
Okay. And I grab him by the ankles and I hold him upside down.
No.
I mean, he's an adult man.
No, don't do. No, don't.
Well, he's actually, the thing is, he's not an adult man. He's like,
he's
16.
A child.
Well, he's like the same age as you all. He's a teenager.
Oh. What if
all right, no limits.
Okay, no. Great.
See, no, you can just say no to doing it.
No, okay. I will not say no to doing it. Go ahead, CEJ. Roll your no limits here. Roll plus weird.
As Shamanda calls the radio station.
That's a 4.
Oh, on a miss, something goes horribly wrong. I think you break one of his legs.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I thought something would go wrong for
me. And he wakes up screaming. No! Just like...
All right, for what it's worth, this one was all him. This was not Flurb.
Oh, no, wait, no, I'm still possessed.
No, you're not.
Oh, Flurb, let me go.
Crashly, you can vouch for me.
Yeah, it's true. That was all CJ.
Susan, can you heal Ron?
Susan's
or might
one.
I say David March? As I look at his eyes.
Yeah,
I
no, mean, that's, that is it, what's crazy. Is Rashawn just guessed what the character's
what?
Actual?
Whoa.
Yeah,
Rashawn.
Yeah, I have always known that his name is actually David March.
Yeah,
well,
I
can heal him if anybody wants.
Flurb?
Mm-hmm. Flurb?
Yeah,
I thought you only took things away. I didn't know you gave them.
I can use one of my souls at a time to help heal people up.
And I'm so sorry, I can't see you, Flurb, but I can hear you. So I'm really not sure
actually,
where my eyeline is supposed to be.
Yeah, Shamanda, you can't even hear. You're aware of a presence because of your empathy. But yeah, the only people who can actually hear or see Flurb right now would be CEJ and Crashly. And then if Susan opened her third eye, Susan would be able to see him as well.
And did I go down to 11 months?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Because now that you're in single digit year, you go down 1 month at a time. So Flurb is saying that, and you can feel the presence of something there. It's got to feel super weird to you, Shamanda, because Flurb is a collection of human souls.
Yeah.
It's pretty disturbing. So you can just sort of feel bits and pieces of other presences around. I mean, I think Pinky St. Christ would bustle in and be like, what's going on? Oh, you need to get out. You need to get out of here now. We're going to have to call the Crammos on this one. That is a horrific break.
We're leaving right now. We'll get your, we'll help you out, David. Don't you worry. All right, everybody, everyone
no,
out here.
No, don't call me that. I'm Ron. I'll always be Ron.
God.
I mean, I could try to possess her again.
You could. You certainly could.
Yeah.
Is that you saying you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Do it.
Aaron, do me a favor. Just roll 2d6.
Okay.
Because our helpless man is this security guy. I'm telling you that right
too.
Now.
I got a 5.
Pinky St. Christ, you are possessed by Flurb.
All right. Flurbs and Pinky. if you can fix this, I can give you half an hour. I have to get to the room.
So y'all, looks like we got half an hour. That ghost is inside this nurse and can give us half an hour.
This nurse has a name.
What's her name?
Pinky.
Dada.
Okay, Flurb is inside Pinky.
Oh my gosh, she is so cute right now.
So cute, I know.
Yeah, well, you haven't spent all freaking day with her.
Yeah, well, I haven't spent all freaking day with you.
What?
At that point, you hear kind of a heavy breath, somebody leaning against the hall outside, and you hear,
well, I might be able to help out a little bit.
And in walks...
an old man!
With a sigh!
No, actually, an old woman.
Oh! Whoa, plot twist!
In walks Tori Pals. She looks probably 15 years older than the last time you saw her.
Older.
And she's... she looks pretty weak. So she looks probably, I don't know, in her mid 60s. It's not like she's not terrible, but she just looks scratched up as well. And she's like,
I got something that I thought could help Susan. Bring her over here.
Okay, here she is.
Dada?
Susan, I need you to look in this bag, okay?
Dada?
She has like a canvas bag in her hand. It's shaking wildly, and she opens it up just enough for Susan's face to be able to look in while she's holding at the bottom whatever is inside of it. Do you all let Susan look in the bag?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Susan looks in, and you hear a light suction sound, and then you hear a... And there are suddenly two things in the bag shaking around, both a little bit smaller. And Susan, you age 8 years.
Oh, is it the Timmer?
Oh.
And Tori's like, there aren't many of these left, but I tracked one down and got it. It's called a Timmerman.
Oh, my God.
That's why you left.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You didn't leave me.
I would never leave you, Susan. Not if I have a choice in it.
Thank you. And I just pat her arm.
Great. So, Susan, you are now 8 years, 11 months old.
Awesome.
We'll round it up to an even 9.
So cool.
Yeah. So you all watch. Susan is there. She appears to be about 9 years old.
Well, welcome back, Susan.
Thank you. Great work, everybody.
Can that Timmerman keep going?
It can, but it's, you got to be careful with it. It could go too far. And also, if the spell is still active, it's going to keep sucking her down, you know? And
oh,
no, this is enough.
Okay.
And Susan, do you have anything you'd like to say to any of us about how you've been acting lately or like any regrets you may have?
EJ?
No.
Okay, so I'm
okay.
Oh,
great.
The car. Oh, wait.
See, also, just to be clear, this has not resolved anything. Tori bought you a little bit of time.
All of
the same stuff is still going to be happening to Susan. Anytime anybody fails, Susan will keep getting younger and everything until you reverse the spell. Just so that is clear. See, EJ, you head towards the car. Shamanda kind of calls after you in surprise. You walk towards the car, you see out there parked in the sort of roundabout in front of the hospital, there's a Nissan Quest that you're quite familiar with. A couple of the dolls are standing outside, and you see inside your cousin, Adam Miller, because you recognize what he looks like, but he has a black beanie pulled down over his head like a hood, and his arms are zip tied behind his back.
What the heck?
They left the puke beanie on him?
Oh, you're right. And you know what? The beanie is not on his head. It is off. And you see Anne, furthermore, wiping his face clean of vomit.
Oh, hey, CEJ.
Whoa, Anne, what the heck are you doing?
Oh, I was just telling
you. She's wiping my face of vomit.
I opened the back seat of the car.
The other dolls step between you, and they're like, we can't let you in.
What?
Shamanda's orders.
It's my cousin, Adam Miller.
I think I did something.
And if you ask questions, CEJ, you should really wait for the answer.
Okay, what are you doing with Adam?
Not much.
Shamanda approaches, grabs CEJ's shoulder. I'm so sorry I have to do this. And I push him into the van and slam the door.
Oh, damn.
We have to.
Yeah, great.
That's smart. He needed it.
Great. Yeah. So see, EJ, you knock into Adam and you're in the back of the Nissan Quest.
Hi. So like, did you save Susan?
I guess kind of. We're working on it.
So no.
Wait, what happened to Susan?
I mean, I did most of the setup work, and now it's just kind of like the rest of the team is gonna like bring it in, kind of like walk it around the bases.
Wait, what happened to Susan? What's going on?
Well,
yeah, the last that you remember, Adam, Susan was 9 or 10, somewhere around there, and you guys had just captured Ron Stewart. Yeah,
is she in the hospital?
She is, but like, I guess the most important thing going on right now is me and you gotta hit the courts because I gotta get onto the basketball team, preferably varsity, but I think I can make it work at a JV.
Why are you trying to join the JV basketball team?
This would be a lot easier to explain if we were allowed to take a little walk.
I can't even scratch my nose right now. See, EJ, I think I killed someone.
Whoa.
Wait. Now, I think I killed someone named Adan.
Are you sure? Because the last time I thought I killed someone, it was actually Susan who did it.
You did it. I read your file.
What are you doing out here? You're supposed to be inside.
I'm in the car. I have what? In the
whole Oh, Anne.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anne sounds like baby.
Anne, I got to tell you, from just out of eyesight and over my shoulder, you sound exactly like Susan.
That's so weird.
No way.
But, see, EJ, the one thing I do want to point out in there is Anne did say she read your file.
What file? Shamanda, what file?
Oh.
We'll cut back over to Shamanda. So, Shamanda, yeah, you're outside the car. Shamanda, so are you sticking around or are you heading back inside?
No. Is Crashly right there?
I mean, Crashly didn't walk out with you guys, so far as I know. So, Crashly's still in Ron Stewart's.
Yeah, I was staying in the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, I go back to Crashly and I say, we have to solve this spell, okay? Once this calms down, all this other stuff,
we're on the same page. There's like a real wiener guy working inside. So I think he's probably the sad man or whatever. We need to record his sigh. We need to.
And I think Tori interrupts and is like, I don't mean any disrespect with this. I think maybe I should take over with Susan. I think between the two of us, we could probably get this resolved.
I mean,
y'all seem to be having a lot going on.
They can help. And furthermore, I just got her name. Anyways, I trust them.
All right.
Okay, I mean, we'll do what you say if you have a good idea. Like,
No, by all means.
No, you just said you wanted to take over, so like,
by
all means.
I didn't say I wanted to take over. I just said I figured I could, between the Timmermen and Susan, we could probably rehab Susan back and then fix the spell on our own.
Yeah.
I grab Crashly's hands knowingly and say, I think that we have to let Susan solve her own problem. And she's got resources that we can't use right now, you know? Like,
the reason I'm laughing is what Susan must feel like to hear Shamanda be like, let's let Susan handle her own issues. She can handle it herself. When the entire time Susan's just been being like, I help you all so much.
Again, I'm 16. I'm a little high. A lot of things going on.
Absolutely. You just captured your ex-boyfriend and one of your current boyfriends. You don't even know where your other boyfriend is at.
I've been biting people. I put someone in the hospital and somehow, like, nobody knows about it, which is good, because that would be a lot of red tape.
Hey, Crashly, you know what? After we finish this, would you like to just, like, go get our nails done or something? Like, just, you know,
I would little girl's love day? To do nails.
I think we need a sleepover. I think we need a real cool down, you know.
Definitely mani-pedi.
Absolutely.
And girls.
Oh, sorry.
And, like, I hate to break it up, but I'm going to go fix this. Maybe stay focused. You know?
Oh.
That's good advice.
On fixing some of the stuff. And we'll get our nails done after. Don't do your nails without me.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, how long are you going to be gone?
And I look at Tori.
Tori says, only time will tell.
Yeah, we'll wait for you, Susan. And I grab Crash's hands knowingly. Give her a little squeeze.
Squeeze back.
Cool.
And Tori, looking at you all, does bend down. And again, she looks like she's getting used to her new, older body since she seems to have been impacted in the capturing of the Timmerman. And she's like, girls, could I talk with you, just the three of us, for a second?
You want? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to?
No. Flurb, sorry. You're right. Stay back over there. You're welcome to chime in if you have any thoughts on this, but I just need these two.
Yeah, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
I care for Susan quite a bit. Please do better if I get her back to you all. You're all fighting with each other. You're all, I don't know what's going on with you, Shamanda, but you've got two of yours in a car out there being guarded. You got her here is a monster. You've got everything going on. One of you needs to be in charge. I don't care which one. but one of you needs to be in charge and make sure the others get in line, because right now you're letting down that little girl in there who used to be a woman who took care of you all.
I don't really know you.
I hear what you're saying, Tori, but, you know, Crashly, like, bit that person, like, on her own accord. I had nothing to do with that. I was just literally just providing.
Tori throws her hands up in disgust and says, come on, Susan, we're going.
She kind of sounded like Chadriel.
Right? She's just, like, putting her stuff on, like, if you want to help. Like, I mean, I know it was mean what I said to Dragline before, but, like, if you want to help Susan because it's a good thing to do. Not just because you think we should do it.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad we're friends again.
Oh, my God. I miss you.
I miss you, too. Hug. It's like,
Tori pushes past you, too, and with Susan in her arms and just walks into the hallway. And just,
ew.
I can walk. I'm 8.
Come
Do
on,
you know
Susan.
Who this is? This is Shamanda.
This is like, so embarrassing.
This is Crashly Grenadine, teen detective.
Oh my gosh.
And this is Pinky St. Clair.
St. Christ.
Flurp did his best.
And yeah, you know what? And that's where we'll end our episode today. As they walk off. And you will see Susan at some point once she is back from her little vacation. But currently you have bigger fish to fry in that Shamanda has to figure out what she's doing with these two boys. And Crashly has to figure out what she's doing with herself.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
How are we the ones in trouble? And Crashly's kicking butt and biting people all over town.
I know.
It ain't right. I'm saying that as Aaron.
You ran away as soon as you saw her, so you didn't even give her a chance. Yeah. You told everyone she was a monster.
Now that Adon said that.
That was rude.
Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a shout out on social media at Mystery County. You can also join our Patreon for bonus episodes, special deliveries, and tons of other random and delightful content produced for and sometimes with you. Now, CEJ has a special yearbook message for our patron, Matthew H.
Hey, Matty H. Looking forward to hanging out with you at Cool Kids Camp this summer, lol. Then there's a big, that like S, that is the three lines, and then the three lines, and they're connected. And then under that it says, hey, thanks for supporting me this year. I know I had a real weird one, so appreciate you sticking by me, bud. Lilas, CEJ.
Until next time, watch out for this one-shot podcast.
Hey there, Monster Hunters Club. Got another cool podcast for you to listen to if you're like, but I'm out of podcasts. Not anymore, because introducing to you all my fantasy children. And all my fantasy children, Aaron Catano Saez and Jeff Stormer take a listener-submitted prompt and, using some of their favorite tabletop RPGs, create an original fantasy character. Along the way, they share laughs, stories, verbal hugs, and populate a shared universe one story at a time. Check it out. And here's a verbal hug to you.
Find all that and more at oneshotpodcast.com. What I'm imagining is Susan's using this as a excuse to get her date with Tori in off the books.
Yeah, get away.
Is there one that Susan's actually looking forward to?
Mm-hmm. Besides Tori?
Yeah. I mean, are there any other old flames that you're like, wow, a second chance at this?
I mean, I think there's many, like dozens that I'm looking forward to, but everyone's an Exler for a reason. You know what I mean?
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship. and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.